Our gospel today is from the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 17. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? God alone is good. But you know the commandments. Do not commit murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, and honor your father and mother." And the man said, "Yes, and I've kept them since my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will store up riches in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the man heard it, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around at his disciples and said to them, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard it, they were perplexed. But he said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astonished, and they said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus said, For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Then Peter began to tell him, "We have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who, having left house and brother and sister, mother and father, children and fields, has left all those things for my sake and the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold in this age now, houses, brothers, mother, children, fields, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. For many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite the children to head out to the comfy chairs for our word for children. The story today is The Purple Coat, and it's Michaela who will be reading it. They'll also hear a version of this story in a little bit simpler language, so they're able to hear and understand. Surely, Jesus isn't talking to me. When Jesus says how hard it is for one who is rich or who has wealth to enter the kingdom of God, surely Jesus isn't talking to me, and surely Jesus isn't talking to you. I mean, after all, who here doesn't have a mortgage that they're trying to pay off or have credit card debt or trying to find a way to have all the bills paid at the end of the month, and a car that, it's on its last leg, so it's time to get a new car. We're not the wealthy and rich. Now, he's talking about folks like Henry Potter. Not Harry Potter. He's the Expelliarmus guy, whatever. No, Henry Potter. Henry Potter is the banker in It's a Wonderful Life. Remember that movie? With all the snow, it kind of gets you thinking about Christmas already, doesn't it? So it'll be showing over and over, and it's a great movie. Again, the plot is a guy named George Bailey, whose father runs a savings and loan, in a small town, who's given his life to help people find a way to pay for their houses, etc. Anyway, his son George ends up kind of having to take that over because his father suddenly dies. And so he puts all his plans on hold. And anyway, he ends up kind of spending his whole life keeping that savings and loan going and helping folks get loans so that they can build their homes and own them. But then through a series of unfortunate events, his absent-minded uncle leaves $8,000 deposit just lying around in the bank at the other bank where Henry Potter is the owner. And it begins a series of episodes where, or a series of events, where all of a sudden the savings and loan is going down. George Bailey's accused of stealing. And it looks like Henry Potter, who is the banker that kind of is really trying to drive the savings and loan out of business, who's trying to find a way to increase his holdings by whatever means necessary, is finally going to shut that savings and loan down and win. And of course, then there's a little dream episode, and you know how it ends. So it must be folks like Henry Potter that Jesus is talking about. People that are so consumed with accumulating wealth that they do things like defraud and lie and whatever means necessary, try to increase the amount of money that they have in the holdings and increase their power. Now, if we're going through that list of commandments that Jesus mentioned, I think he ended up stealing that money. He lied about having done it. He certainly tries to do what he can to defraud. I'm not sure that he committed adultery because there's no indication he was married. And if you simplistically, if you say, did he murder? No. But in Luther's understanding, he certainly sought to diminish the well-being of others through his actions. So he kind of breaks that commandment. Anyway, Jesus must be talking about that kind of guy. And sure enough, in today's story, Jesus is talking to a man who apparently has a lot of possessions. But when he listed the commandments, he was, for the most part, he'd actually follow those commandments. And that man was wealthy. Well, at least we're not wealthy like that. But in some ways we are, aren't we? I just did a little Googling around and found out that the average wage here in Canada is around $65,000. That's the average based on Wikipedia or somebody. I mean, that may be off, but I mean, it's in that ballpark. And there's no set poverty line, but it's between the provinces about $16,000 to $20,000. If you go below that, then you're considered to be in poverty. So let's say it's about $18,000. I just got curious about the rest of the world. The average salary for the rest of the world is $8,000. And if you take the median, those of you that know math, there's a difference between average and median. And so average is where you just take all the money and kind of that's earned and divide it up by the number of people. Median is saying, okay, if you go up halfway on the number of people, how much is that person making? And the median salary in the world is $2,000 a year. Certainly, we may look around at the folks around us and go, you know, we're not particularly wealthy. We know folks that we're making quite a bit more, and we acknowledge that we're doing all right. But certainly, if we expand it to the rest of the world, there is at least part of this to claim that Jesus is talking to us, that we are the wealthy ones who have a hard time entering the kingdom of God. Boy, part of me wants to find a way to squirrel up from underneath that, because I hate giving you bad news. But if I'm to proclaim the gospel includes that aspect of truth-telling. We are wealthy people. But I do want to point out something that Jesus, in his conversation with the man, he left something out, it seems. Because when he asked him if he knew the commandments, he listed about 7 of them. And they were all ones having to do with how we relate to each other and to our parents. He left out the first three. Hear, O Israel, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those three commandments are the ones that have to do with our relationship to God. Very key. So when Jesus says he looked at the man and he loved him, and then he said, you lack one thing. In my prayer pondering of this passage, what he lacked, in essence, was following the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He had first commandment trouble. That's a phrase that Pastor Laurie uses a lot in talking about kind of Luther's take on the Ten Commandments. We have first commandment trouble. We don't want God to be God. We want to put ourselves in that driver's seat and have control of our lives. When Jesus looked at that man, yes, he wasn't doing harm to anyone else. He was loving his neighbor pretty well, but he was having first commandment trouble. He was accumulating wealth, and unless he could let go of that, then God could not sit on the throne of his heart. So also, that is Jesus talking to us, isn't it? Because we love to be in control. We love to know how it's going to work out. We love to know that even if nobody else helps us, that we're going to be okay because we've got money in the bank or we've got a good house, et cetera, et cetera. When we go down that trail, and our society says that's the only trail to go down, we're actually having first commandment trouble. We are not loving God. And I'm going to use a different word there. We're not trusting God. We're not trusting God. To trust God really is to believe that God's desire for us, that God's hope for us, that God's way of life that Jesus invited us to is truly life. And there is a lot of evidence out there that what people tend to put their trust in is going to let them down. I mean, take a look at the Southeast United States right now. If you have a home still, you're pretty lucky. If you're counting on that home to be there forever, it went away. We're one good stock market crash from most of our wealth disappearing, aren't we? If we're counting on our bodies to be fit and strong and to keep us going, at some point they're going to let us down. There is nothing in this world that will not at some point let you down, except for God. But of course, it's hard to see God. It's hard to put our trust in God. That is the whole faith thing, isn't it? But Jesus' words to us today are saying, if you're human, you're probably having first commandment trouble. And more than likely, it's got a dollar sign in there somewhere that wants to sit on the throne of your life. That is the major impediment to you entering, to you experiencing the kingdom of God. Pastor Laura likes to say it this way. There are levels of relationship with God and spirituality that is not available unless you start giving your money away. It's that simple. The simple practice of tithing, of offering, of giving to charities, this process of giving away gives us the muscle to loosen up that hold that money tends to have on us. There's also, in this passage, this promise that Jesus gives us, that there's no one who, having given up all these things, doesn't receive them 100-fold now. It's one of the spiritual laws. If you want something, the way to get it is by giving it away. If you want to have more wealth, give your wealth away. What? It makes no sense. It makes no sense unless you think about God's economy. Jesus tells the man, sell all that you own and give it to the poor. And then you'll store up treasures in heaven. It's true, when you choose to invest in the loving your neighbor, loving God thing, the riches may not look like more and more money in your bank account. But when we risk investing in loving neighbor and trusting God, and that trusting that when we care for others, even though it hurts our bottom line, that we'll receive 100-fold, all of a sudden what happens is community starts being built. And if, as you're giving away, what you realize is that there's a treasure being built up. The best way to see it is going back to that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Everybody thought the richest man in town was Henry Potter. But at the end of the movie, after George is contemplating suicide because he seems like his life is falling apart, instead something shifts through. I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, you should watch it. But what happens is word gets out that he's in trouble. I'm always surprised when things like this make me emotional. Every time I watch that movie, I cry, so I shouldn't be surprised. Wow, you have a weepy pastor this morning. But what happens is folks start showing up. And his whole life that was spent helping people provide for themselves, to be able to own a house, to not constantly be on the hook to Henry Potter and having their money drained away, they show up and start throwing money at him. And it really is, in terms of what we're talking about today, it's like the treasure, the kingdom, the treasures that he had been building up in heaven were just made manifest. Now, it's a huge act of trust to knock down your bank account and believe that if you invest in others through help, through charity, through caring, through loving, through sacrificial giving, all that kind of stuff, it is a leap of faith to believe that that money will come back to you, that you will indeed have those treasures in heaven. But that is the way of life Jesus calls us to. If you want to have the abundant life, then start giving away. If you want to have the abundant life, then let go of that grip you have on those things that you think are giving you life that aren't of God. And start giving it away, letting go, and creating space for for the kingdom of God to fill you. Jesus is talking to me. I have to keep remembering this. Jesus is talking to you. We're wealthy, but we have the opportunity. And of course, it sounds like a blanket condemnation that you haven't been doing that. I know many of you are generous givers and people who have experienced this. So keep on doing that. Keep building up those treasures in heaven. But if you have a hard time getting yourself and that dollar sign off the throne of your heart, I invite you to start practicing. Give a little bit till it hurts. And allow God to show you and to fill your life with the treasures of heaven. Amen.